Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my colleague Michael Yon. This is Michael Yon at locals.com to support Michael's wanderings of the earth these last years. Right now, he's wandered to the state of Texas. He's working very carefully to explicate what he's learned in these last 2 years about borders and about the great migration underway of the global south to the north temperate zone, perhaps by climate, perhaps by bad governance, perhaps by the trading routes, perhaps by human traffickers. All things can be included in why the global south is moving to the global north. One explanation that becomes more and more apparent since the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine is famine. But famine combined with severe weather conditions, combined with bad water, combined with bad governance, means that there is no place right now that isn't under threat from the dislodging of vast populations. 8 billion people on the earth right now. We're going to top out at about 10 billion in the middle of this century and then retreat to about 8 billion at 2100. One of those billions is Michael Yon himself. Michael, where is it that Michael Yon has wandered right now, and what do you see from your vantage about the border with Mexico? Good evening to you, Michael.
Actually, I am in Dripping Springs, Texas. And so I've been down at the border, which is I'm far from the border right now. I'm closer to Austin. And so I've been down on the border watching the invasion. It's a straight-up invasion. It's unbelievable. And Governor Abbott, the Texas governor, you know, he talks a good game about closing the border, but it's just untrue. It's just wide open. And so I was just down there with numerous border, I guess, experts is the best way to put it. They spend so much time down there. And but let's talk about what you were talking about before, the famine and these other things that create human osmotic pressure. The human osmotic pressure is the push and pull of migration, and it's constantly on. There's many things that cause this osmosis. Some can just be financial. Obviously, war can be one, and famine, pandemic. These things all can create that human osmotic pressure, right? Push and pull. And so, and as you know, I've been warning about this for years. This is a bigger picture beyond mere migration. The weaponization of migration is in full steam ahead. You know, as you know, I was last year in Morocco watching Morocco push migrants into Ceuta and Melilla, Spain. There's two Spanish cities in Africa, in Morocco, actually. I think you and I talked from there.
Yes.
And Morocco weaponizes migrants over in Greece, watching Turkey do the same. And then from Morocco, actually, the country of Lithuania, I was with their army over in Afghanistan during the war, and I kept my contacts, and they realized that I was in Morocco, in Africa, doing the migration. And I called them up and I said, hey, I've heard that Belarus is trying to push migrants into Lithuania and Poland. And they said, well, we were just about to call you because we saw you were in Africa. So I flew straight up with Chuck Holton to Vilnius, and I spent a month up there, and they gave me full access to the camps and intelligence briefings. And, you know, it's lucky I was with them in the war in Afghanistan. So they knew that, and they've been watching my border work, whether it's in Colombia or Panama at the Darien Gap or in Mexico, they've been watching it. And so they gave me full access. And that's when I started warning, you know, there's something afoot here beyond mere migration. When it comes to Belarus and Russia, the migration is
Michael,
weaponized.
Let me do the calendar here. This is June and July of 2021 when Michael was in Vilnius. That is the capital of Lithuania on the Russian frontier. This is 7, 6, 8 months before the invasion of Ukraine and the war in Europe. It's a war between NATO and the Russian Federation. Please continue, Michael.
Oh, yeah. I was warning. I said, hey, something's up with Russia and Belarus, because, as you know, they're basically Siamese twins in this conflict. And that, you know, there's clearly something going on. And, well, we can see now, you know, I recall, you know, people early before the war started, many people were like, oh, the war is not going to be a war. And I'm like, there is going to be a war. Chances are Russia is going to actually invade. Of course, we never know that until it actually physically happens. But you can see what's happened now.
All right.
Now, this.
Michael, I want to bring you back. I want to bring you back to Texas. We'll get to the Vilnius story because there's a lot of detail there. But you've introduced Russia here. So let's stay with Russia. My reporting over the last year has identified Russian bad actors conjoined with their ally Tehran, Iranian bad actors, conjoined with their Hezbollah, Lebanese bad actors, conjoined with Chinese money operating freely in Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. Now, because of the presidential election of 2022, that Russian influence in Caracas is going to move towards Bogota, the capital of Colombia, where you were visiting before you went to the Darien Gap. It's going to move into Brasilia with the new president as of the next 24 hours, Lula da Silva, who has already invited and embraced an Iranian ambassador and a Russian ambassador. It's certainly going to take root even deeper in Central America, in Managua, Nicaragua, south of you, Michael, on the pathway to Mexico. We don't know about Mexico City. We just can't tell. Although the president of Mexico, López Obrador, AMLO, is extremely sympathetic to Managua, Nicaragua, to Caracas, Venezuela, to Bogota, Colombia. They're all condemning the momentary disruption in Lima, Peru, with one voice. There's also Santiago, Chile. I know it's a long list, Michael, but I've been busy too. While you've been wondering, I've been compiling what looks to be an operation. Now, Michael, you're at the Texas border. Are the Texas officials, Governor Abbott, are the U.S. officials or the Border Patrol, are they informed that we can't demonstrate it, but we can certainly say the motive is there for Russia to move its operations? This is a narco-terrorist operation to undermine governance from South America to Central America. Have you discussed this with them, Michael, as a national security threat?
It's a huge national security threat. That's all I do is national security. If you see me come to your neighborhood, you should probably consider leaving, you know, and I'm in Texas, right? And you know, when it comes to Governor Abbott, you know, talking the talk about closing the border, he's helping facilitate the invasion. That's not popular with some people in Texas because they think he's doing something. He is doing something. He's helping facilitate the invasion while talking about putting up a wall and all these things. But I'm constantly down there and I see what's actually happening. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they have just announced that they're going to pull down the aerostats. The aerostats are those helium filled white balloons down on the border. You know, we had them all over Iraq and Afghanistan. Those have cameras on them, but more so than cameras, one thing that people don't realize is we get a huge amount of signals intelligence, SIGINT, from those balloons. There are sensors up there to pick up chatter between the cartels and whatnot, you know, for interdicting drug shipments and that sort of thing. They're pulling those down. This was just Border Patrol just sent that to me yesterday, actually. Many of the Border Patrol agents are incredibly angry.
Michael, why are they taking the balloons down? Who does that benefit?
Well, John, we have these aerostat. We have a line of aerostat balloons on the Mexico border. These are those white helium-filled balloons that have sensors hanging off of them. We have these, you know, a lot of these in Iraq and Afghanistan. You would see them everywhere, and they have cameras, of course, thermal cameras and that sort of thing. But more importantly than that, they have sensors for signals intelligence to help us interdict the drug smuggling, which is absolutely massive in destroying, you know, swaths of America. We can all see it on the streets. So Department of Homeland Security, actually a Border Patrol agent sent it to me yesterday, very angry that they've announced that they're going to pull down the aerostats and do other things as well that are facilitating the invasion. As you know, earlier this year when I was down in Darien Gap, I was about to fly up to Arizona to go out with a couple of congressmen, Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin and and Biggs from Arizona. I was about to go up there and go on the border with him. And Congressman Tiffany's office told me that Mayorkas is about to fly down to Darien. So I canceled Arizona, and I went to the landing zone that I thought he might land on with helicopters, and I waited for several days, and he did. He landed right in front of me with three Blackhawks, Mayorkas. So Mayorkas flew all the way down to Darien Gap, to Darien Province anyway, and he has doubled the size of the camps. He's doubled. He went into one of the camps right by me, drove like 15 feet away from me. I'd been staking him out for days. And then he went inside one of the camps, San Vicente Camp in Darien Province, and I put the drone up over him, droned as he was down there doing his meeting. And then he got in the helicopters, three Blackhawks, and flew away. And they've increased the flow from South America through Panama. This is very important because as these famines and these other issues, remember, when you get a big famine, you always get pandemic and war. There is no exception to that. I mean, it goes all the way. It's biblical. I mean, it's like you never, if you get a big war or a big pandemic or a big famine, you always get the other two. It's the four horsemen. The fourth horseman is, of course, death, right? And another thing, that there should be five horsemen, because every time you get a big pandemic, famine, or war, which is almost like the same thing when you study them enough, you get huge human osmotic pressure. You get that very significant push and pull of migration. So as we go into these famines, which are, they're coming, right? You're going to see huge amounts of Africans and Asians and also South Americans, because, for instance, I was just recently over with Jordan Peterson over in Netherlands. I was on a show, and then he asked to spend some time with me in Netherlands. So we were together there. I took him out to a farm and introduced him to a scientist and some other people. And one of the people that I introduced Jordan Peterson to is a retired CEO of a big chemical company in Netherlands, who one of their main products was nitrogenous fertilizers using the Haber-Bosch process, right? Where you strip the hydrogen off of the natural gas, you combine it with the nitrogen that's in the air we breathe, and you make ammonia, right? And you can make ammonium sulfate, urea, ammonium nitrate. These are the sorts of things that are used to put an extra estimated 4 billion people on Earth. So you talked about the population on Earth since 1915, when the Haber-Bosch process really kicked off in earnest in Ludwigshafen, Germany. The population has just exploded in large part, not only because of that, but in large part due to these nitrogenous fertilizers. I was at BASF at Ludwigshafen twice this year, warning people. I've been warning on so many interviews that if you see BASF at Ludwigshafen, Germany, close, that is the EU having a heart attack. They're dying, right? And about maybe 9 weeks ago, they announced they're closing down almost all their operations, moving a lot of them over to China. Well, they're not just going to pop up in China anyway. But the bottom line is, Europe is not exporting any nitrogenous fertilizers now. This is a huge deal. This means countries like India are not getting their nitrogenous fertilizers. Countries like Brazil are not going to get it. I flew over to Thailand. I know one of the after I spent 4 months rolling around Europe looking at the factories and talking with scientists and that sort of thing, I then flew over to Ireland and was out with the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou McDonald, very far leftist. She has no idea what's about to come. She just wanted to talk about equity and these sorts of things. And I'm like, Mary Lou, I think you should focus on food and energy, right? Not all this equity nonsense, right? You're about to have another famine in Ireland, right? Anyway, then I flew over to Thailand and I talked with an old prime minister there. He's a friend of mine, Prime Minister Abhisit, right? And I told him, I said, listen, Thailand is in danger of potential famine. He goes, no, we export, X amount of food. And I'm like, I realize that. I have an office here, right? And I have an office in Chiang Mai. I'm quite cognizant. And I also said that Thailand creates about 8% of the nitrogenous fertilizers it needs. It imports 92%, mostly from Europe, right? And it's not going to get any this year. Zero, right? And you are – the Thai soil is notoriously short on nitrogen because you export so much rice. And rice just sucks the nitrogen right out of the soil. You're exporting all your nitrogen. Without these fertilizers – you could be going into what almost happened in the 60s in Thailand, right? And so the bottom line is many countries that think that they're good to go, like Ireland, they're not calculating all their inputs. They're not calculating that, hey, normally we get all these fertilizers and these other chemicals, the herbicides and the pesticides and the fungicides, which come from the same chemical plants. They're all closed. Of the 29 plants in Europe right now, they're either all closed or almost closed to the point where they don't matter anymore. The ones that create the nitrogenous fertilizer like Yara and BASF. And so, you know, in 1905, when a guy named Fritz Haber, he was a German chemist, he first, you know, in a thermodynamics book that he published in 1905, he described how he thought he could take, you know, the hydrogen off of the natural gas and combine it with nitrogen and make ammonia, right? So about 3 years later, he actually got a little drop to come out, right? And then in 1913, a guy named Karl Bosch, also a German chemist, started to work on doing this on an industrial scale at Ludwigshafen, right? Now, there's a couple of things with this. Of course, the Germans were dependent on using bat guano and bird guano for fertilizer, and other competitors were cutting them out of the market. And out of that ammonia, you can make tremendous amounts of explosives, right? So the Germans started working on the Haber-Bosch. Well, it's called the Haber-Bosch process because Fritz Haber is the one who thought it up and got a, you know, and created a little bit of ammonia with that process. And then Karl Bosch came along at BASF at Ludwigshafen, Germany, and they industrialized it. So in 1913, they started working on that on an industrial scale. And by 1915, BASF was producing nitrogenous fertilizers and explosives, right? So I went to that plant twice this year. Again, I've been warning, if that plant closes, that's your sign that Europe is, as we know it, dead. And so, you know, when Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 mysteriously blew up, that's like the two arteries in your neck being cut. Now, Nord Stream 2, of course, was not flowing. It was pressurized, but pressure from the United States, of course, Germany did not, was not, when Trump warned Germany about getting their gas from Russia, and they laughed at him, I'm sure you recall that. Those of us who are paying attention to nitrogenous fertilizers and how important they are to life on Earth, to maybe 4 billion people on Earth, we weren't laughing. You know, we're like, so you basically got two arteries that you're going to set up that if those arteries are cut, Ludwigshafen was getting, BASF at Ludwigshafen was getting their gas from Nord Stream 1, right? So those are gone. And so, that's it. As soon as those pipelines were blown up, I was like, Europe's dead. It's going to die, right?
Michael, we're going to go back to the war, but I want to make sure we understand. The balloons that have been used at the border for intelligence gathering and for monitoring are coming down, and there is no immediate replacement. And the presumption is that this is a decision that's been made in Washington. Is that correct, the decision to take the balloons down?
Oh, yeah. It's a DHS, Department of Homeland Security decision, level or higher.
The DHS wants to take the balloons down now because they no longer want to gather data because a political decision again. Who is it that the DHS doesn't want data, doesn't want to have its data? What is the concern?
Us. I mean, they don't, I mean, they're clearly trying to hide. Like, for instance, when, you know, people ask, you know, Biden, is he going to go to the border? He doesn't even know where the bathroom is. I mean, but, you know, of course, he just blows it off, as do all, you know, again, Mayorkas landed in Darien Gap earlier this year, right in front of me.
I want to connect. So DHS is moving to stop taking in data that can be used by its adversaries in a political context in Washington. And I presume this means that with the change of leadership in the House of Representatives, what you're expecting, what there is evidence for, is that the Republican House majority is now going to seek that data from DHS. Is that your assumption, Michael?
I mean, they're going to try to get data anywhere they can get it. And, of course, that's going to close a lot of that down. It's also facilitating smuggling of humans and drugs. Children are getting smuggled as we speak every single day. I mean, it's unbelievable, John. I mean, it's the amount that you see down there.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen some of the videos, but that's 24/7 up and down that border.
And so the decision is made politically here at year's end, no longer to gather data about the flow of refugees, immigrants, migrants from Central America from the global south into the United States. That decision has been made, is your observation. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they announced it. A Border Patrol agent sent me the announcement yesterday. I put it on my locals page, actually. So it's up on my locals page as well. So all right. It's an actual official announcement.
Here we are at year's end. Michael's done a very good job of surveying the scale of this. The migration connected to the war, connected to the what is apparently a breakdown in resources for food and energy. And that breakdown comes from decisions that are being made in various capitals. So I now want to turn away from where Michael is now and go over his last year reporting from some of the capitals that he's mentioned. We're going to eventually get to Vilnius on the Russian frontier. This is Michael Yon. It's michaelyon@locals.com. And your generosity to support his wanderings of the crisis are most appreciated. And when we come back, the Michael Yon in 2021. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Say what? Say Eptivayepti, eptinezumab, JJMR treatment like I did. Tap the ad to learn more at Vyepti.com. Ask your doctor if it's time to
say Eptivayepti.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.